ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 स्वप्ने यथा पश्यति देहमीदृशम्
स्वप्ने यथा पश्यति देहमीदृशम्
मनोरथेनाभिनिविष्टचेतना
मनोरथेनाभिनिविष्टचेतना
दृष्टश्रुताभ्यां मनसानुश्चिन्तयम्
दृष्टश्रुताभ्यां मनसानुश्चिन्तयम्
प्रपद्यते तत् किमपि ह्या मनुस्मृति
प्रपद्यते तत् किमपि यपस्मृति
यथा एज
पश्यति
वन्सीज़
देहम
द काइंड ऑफ बॉडी
ईदृशम ईदृशम
सिमिलर
मनोरथेना
बाय मेंटल स्पेकुलेशन अभिनिविष्टा इज फुली अब्सॉर्ब्ड
चेतना
he whose consciousness drishta by whatever has been experienced
by seeing with the eyes
shrutabhyam and by hearing a description
of something else
Manasa
by the mind.
Anuchintayam thinking, feeling, and willing.
Prapadyate
surrenders.
Tat
to that situation.
Kim api
what to speak of.
He indeed.
Apasmriti
experiencing forgetfulness
of the present body. Translation. Having experienced a situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation, and thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another, tata dehantara prapti. Purport. Transmigration of the soul is very clearly explained in this verse. One sometimes forgets his present body and thinks of his childhood body, a body of the past, and how one was playing, jumping, talking, and so on. When the material body is no longer workable, it becomes dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But when the body again mixes with the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the mind continues to work. The mind is the subtle substance in which the body is created, as we actually experience in our dreams, and also when we are awake in contemplation. One must understand that the process of mental speculation develops a new type of body that does not actually exist. One can understand the nature of the mind, manoratena, and its thinking, feeling, and willing. One can very easily understand how, from the mind, different types of bodies develop. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, offers a process of transcendental activities wherein the mind is fully absorbed in affairs pertaining to Krishna. The presence of the soul is perceived by consciousness, and one must purify his consciousness from material to spiritual, or in other words, to Krishna consciousness. That which is spiritual is eternal, and that which is material is temporary. Without Krishna consciousness, one's consciousness is always absorbed in temporary things. For everyone, therefore, Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana Bhavaman Pakto Madhyaji Manu Naskaru. One should always be absorbed in thought of Krishna, one should become his devotee. One should always engage in his service and worship him as the Supreme Great. And one should always offer him obeisances. In the material world, one is always a servant of a greater person. In the spiritual world, our constitutional position is to serve the Supreme, the greatest, Param Brahma. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 20.108. To act in Krishna consciousness is the perfection of life and the highest perfection of yoga. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Let's just keep going. There's a verse here, I thought it was the next verse. It's still the first one. Yoginam abhisarvesham madgatena antaratmana shadhavan hajate yomam same yuktatamo mana. Of all yogis, he always abides in me with great faith. Worshipping me in transcendental loving service is most intimately united with me in yoga, is the highest of all. The condition of the mind which flickers between sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting something and rejecting it, is very important in transferring the soul to another material body at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam jajan jajan yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sarata bhavabhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Bhagavad Gita 8.6. Therefore one must train the mind in the system of Bhakti Yoga, as did Maharaj Ambarish, who kept himself always in Krishna consciousness. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. One must fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna 24 hours a day. If the mind is fixed upon Krishna's lotus feet, the activities of the other senses will be engaged in Krishna's service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. To serve Rishikesh, the master of the senses, with purified senses is called Bhakti. Those who constantly engage in devotional service are situated in a transcendental state, above the material modes of nature. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Mamcha Yogya Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate. Sagunan samadhyayatan halabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One must learn the secret of success from the Vedic literatures, especially when the cream of Vedic knowledge is presented by Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because the mind is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the word apasmriti is significant. Forgetfulness of one's own identity is called apasmriti. This apasmriti can be controlled by the Supreme Lord. For the Lord says, Mata smritir jnanam apauhanam cha. For me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Instead of allowing one to forget one's real position, Krishna can revive one's original identity at the time of one's death, even though the mind may be flickering. Although the mind may work imperfectly at the time of death, Krishna gives a devotee shelter at his lotus feet. Therefore, when the devotee gives up his body, the mind is not taken to another material body. Rather, Krishna takes the devotee to that place where he engaged in his pastimes, Mam 18, as we have already discussed in previous verses. One's consciousness, therefore, must always be absorbed in Krishna, and then one's life will be successful. Otherwise, the mind will carry the soul to another material body. The soul will be placed in the semen of a father and discharged into the womb of a mother. The semen and ovum create a particular type of body according to the form of the father and mother. And when this body is mature, the soul emerges in that body and begins a new life. This is the process of transmigration of the soul from one body to another. Tata dehantara prapti. Unfortunately, those who are less intelligent think that when the body disappears, everything is finished. The entire world is being misled by such fools and rascals. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.20, Nahante hanimane shamide, the soul does not die when the body is destroyed. Rather, the soul takes on another body. So here the principle The principal discussion here is of transmigration. So Vasudeva is trying to get Kamsa to not be so worried about his situation. He's going to change bodies anyway. Transmigration is going to happen. So now it's just a matter of whether he understands that and appreciates that, or whether he thinks he's going to somehow or another live forever, even though we can see everybody is not living forever. And we see that he's taken this approach because of his maturity in Krishna consciousness. So this is the actual solution. If we try some other solutions, political solutions, or different kinds of emotional solutions, religious solutions, then you may get some temporary result, but you may not get a very deep result, very, you know, specific result. So we see here in this discussion, even though Kamsa was very immediately agitated, disturbed by the situation, then we see in the future he becomes peaceful. So this shows that Krishna consciousness is so practical and logical. If presented in the proper way, even the demons can appreciate the fundamental principles. Maybe not the surrender to the Lord, but all the, how you say, the mechanical aspects of Krishna consciousness that deal with the material energy like this. So therefore, it's the most practical, it's the best approach. Other approaches are very temporary. So, So now the question comes up is that the mind is the key. The mind is the pivot of the whole consideration. Everything's based on that. So if one can understand the mind, one can understand transmigration of the soul. Then so much of any anxiety and, you know, desires and endeavors that we have can be brought into a natural balance. It's from not understanding the workings of the mind that we get very caught up in things in this world that take us into material kind of consciousness. If we understand how the mind works and we understand Krishna consciousness, then we will not be sidetracked by all these things. Therefore, Krishna starts, man mana bhava mad bhakto, your mind, you have to catch the mind first. Mind is caught, then prayers, obeisances, service, all these things will come. But the mind is the key. You don't catch the mind, you don't have anything. But we can't catch the mind like we can catch something else. You know, you can catch, you know, some object, but the mind being subtle, you can't catch it with the material body. Right? It has to be caught by the intelligence. We have to see it from that platform, because the intelligence is subtler than the mind. So the intelligence can catch the mind. So if we can, by intelligence, understand the mind, then we can actually control the situation to better ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So the mind functions on thinking, feeling, and willing. These three are how it works. It doesn't work in another way. Right? It's the mind doesn't work how we think it should work, you know, or how people say it works, but it functions the way it actually works, the way Krishna created it. So thinking, feeling, and willing is how it functions. So one will think about something. By thinking about something, then that is at the point where this sankalpa-vikalpa, or acceptance or rejection, takes place. If you think about it and you accept it, then it moves to the next stage. It moves to feeling, and then to willing. But if at that stage, in contemplating something, you cannot find a connection or a relationship with you, you do not become attracted to it, right? Then that's where it stops. You'll just think about something. But the things that you actually do, your practical activities, means things that the mind accepted. Things you don't do are things that the mind rejected. Very simple. Whatever you're doing is what the mind is accepting. Whatever you're avoiding is what the mind is rejecting. Very simple, like that. Mind is actually quite a simple thing. But by identifying with it, then we become very simple, so we can't figure it out. You know, that's, you know, basically what happens. And that's why intelligence, because intelligence is sophisticated. Right? It's a sophisticated, so it discerns between things. So by that, you can understand something simple. Right? Somebody who's more trained, more developed, more sophisticated, more mature, can understand someone who's more simple. Right? That's the general principle. So this whole thing of what you contemplate, right, is based upon your consciousness. Now, you don't contemplate everything. There's unlimited things in this universe to contemplate. We're not contemplating everything. We're just contemplating things that the mind has accepted to contemplate, or things that the mind has rejected. Right? What it's rejecting is what was accepted before, or it's rejecting what tomorrow will be accepted. Right? Because you just go back and forth between these opposites. Maybe a slight little difference, agitation this way. The person that is exploited today, tomorrow becomes the exploiter. You know, the person, you know, who's very, very practical today, tomorrow becomes very, you know, whimsical. Like this, the person who's whimsical after some time sees that it's, you know, it's pretty useless and becomes practical. Like this, it just keeps changing like this. You know, slight adjustments, not much adjustment. This is the key. We'll just go off onto this, then come back to the thinking, feeling, and willing. Is something that one should know definitely. Is that how you feel now, how you identify yourself, right? Not so much the identity, but how you feel, right? When you go into a daydream, this talks about daydream and sleeping as giving examples how you're already in another body carried by the subtle body. Right? That's the specific point of this verse. So you are in a dream, in another body, another situation, doing so many funny things. You know, we don't fly, but in dreams we fly. Or, you know, so many things happen. Right? So you're not a different person. Right? You don't feel like a different person. Or when we daydream, we go off and we think this, that. We're not a different person. So understand, when you leave this body, you will not be a different person. How you are thinking now, if you leave the body now, you're going to start thinking like that again as soon as, you know, the mind and everything develops. It's not different. It's due to the mode of ignorance that we think it'll be different. Oh, it'll be so different, it'll be so wonderful, it'll be so... No, it's going to be exactly what it is today. That's it. Right, you're in the city, you're working, got your job, you know, the rat race, decide, let's go on a vacation. When you go on a vacation, do you change? A different person goes on vacation? No, the same person goes on vacation. The change of situation, temporarily, you think that this is great. So you may start to act a little differently. But you still think and feel the same. But after a while, the new situation gets old, and then it's right back to, you know, exactly feeling the way we felt 2 weeks ago, before we started the vacation. So this is a very, very essential point. It's not different. That's why if you're not Krishna conscious, you don't go back to Godhead. As we are sitting right now, if we're not Krishna conscious, we're not going to walk into Krishna Lila. Because we'll be the same way. We'll walk into Krishna Lila and wonder, okay, where am I going to stay? You know, how am I going to be taken care of? Where's the food? You know, that guy over there looks a little strange. You know, this and that. And I hope no one's going to bother me. You know, there's no lock on my kunj. You know, like this. You know, what if, you know, somebody comes in the night and, you know, steals my, you know, lotus petal bed? You know, something. It's the same thing. This is a very important point. This is what this point is making. You go into another body through a daydream or through a dream at night. The body changed. You're the same. So when you go into the next body, it's the same old story. Right? So the mode of ignorance is, oh, in the future, well, it'll just work out by some magic. Right? Ignorance is magic. We believe in magic. Right? It'll just change. I'll come out of my room, I'll, you know, walk out on the roof, a thunderbolt will hit me, and I'll be a pure devotee. Right? Or I'll go to sleep at night thinking of all my bills and this and that and so many problems, or I'll wake up in the morning mysteriously a pure devotee. Right? No. When you have the consciousness that you want that, you get it. Right? Krishna is, he is in control of remembrance. Forget. We're forgetting who we are because we want to forget. Right? How do we tell? We may say, no, I want to be a pure devotee. I want to give up all this. Then somebody comes along and insults us immediately. How can they insult me? Don't they know who I am? You know, I've been around this many years. I'm Prabhupada's disciple. I've done this service, that service. Who are they? Does that mean we want to go back to Godhead? No, it means I identify so strongly with my present situation, forgetting my original identity, that I'm willing to fight for it. Make politics, get on the emails, write to 20 people. Right? Like that. We don't want to let go. That's the point. We're so attached to it that anything comes out immediately. That's why you see with the devotees, what do they care? Sukadeva Goswami is sitting down there, he got something to eat, and some village kid comes along and passes urine on it. Big deal. Does he go, hey, don't you know I'm the son of Vyasadeva? You know, I'm a liberated soul, you know? Oh, okay. Gets up, moves on. Therefore, that's the thing, because they're not attached. All those qualities come. Because of our attachment, all the bad qualities come. When there's no attachment, we're attached to Krishna, all good qualities come. So the thing is, the how you say, the philosophy is so simple. That's the thing. It's shockingly simple. We want to make it complicated because we feel complication is something special. The more complicated I am, the more special I am, right? You have a little kid, they're very simple. Adults are better because they're more complicated, right? Basically. But otherwise, they do the same thing, right? The kids play with their little car on the mud, and the guy gets into his, you know, Porsche 911 and drives down the road. He thinks he's different. Same thing. You know? So the whole point is there is no change unless you want to change and you make that endeavor to change. The change, of course, will be done by Krishna. But we have to want it and we have to endeavor for it. So that's the first thing. Wanting it, we have to, that is the feeling. Right? Then we will endeavor for it. That's willing. So unless we first see, yes, okay, being Krishna conscious, being a devotee of Krishna, this is important to me. Therefore, you think, yes, I can relate to this. Right? There you've established relationship. That's thinking. So thinking now is complete. From that, then it'll move to the next stage. Attachment, or need. A desire, then, when it becomes stronger, becomes a need. Right? By contemplating it, it becomes a need. Then from that need, you endeavor. Right? If there's no need, you don't do anything. Right? Like there's a local, what do you call it? It's not a saying, it's just an observation that, you know, some of the local, like Goshas, they get up in the morning and they, while still there laying in bed, they kick the rice pot. And if it's full, they go back to sleep. And if it's empty, then they get up and go out and do some work. Right? So that's the thing. If there's no need, there's no work. You know, you look at it. Anything you do, let's say there's some big feast happening and you're not hungry. You get up and go there? No. You say, I'm not hungry. Then later you sit there and think and said, well, but I'll be hungry later. So then I'll go get some. You know, I'll just take some and keep it for later. You will only do something if there's a need. If there's no need, you won't do it. You'll think about it. That's thinking. you'll check and see relationships there. Well, I'm not hungry and this and that, and there's no one specific that I have to go there for some social obligation. So therefore, you know, and it's a trouble and this and that, and I could be doing something else. So therefore, then the mind, okay, puts all those elements together and then decides, okay, reject. Okay, so I don't go. Or if it puts it together while I'm hungry, or I'm not hungry, but, you know, the person that's inviting me is very close, so I should be there, at least make an appearance, you know, try to, you know, maybe not eat, just help serve or something, or, you know, take something, you know, like this. Then you decide, okay, that's more important, the relationship, my hunger, you know, or whatever it is. So then the mind decides, accept. Right? And so then it's accepted, then okay, then it's based on needs. So you're going to accept, reject based on what your needs are. Okay, if social interaction is important, that'll be considered. If simply just food is important, then you'll consider like this. Whatever is the importance, whatever are our values, that's how you're going to work. That's the thing. Your values are what you work by. Say whatever you want, but what you do is your values. Right? That's the easy thing. Someone can speak whatever, but you watch what they do, that's what they value. Like that. So this is how the mind is functioning. So it's the point of the verse is making, you understand this, then you understand our present situation is we're in this present situation because we actually want to be in this present situation. Right? We want. We may say, oh, I only like the good things. I don't like the bad. But we like the bad. Otherwise, we wouldn't think about it. We get a taste from it. That's the thing. Good or bad, a taste is there. Right? The child goes to the mother, wants some attention. She's busy. He goes in the next room and, you know, creates a riot. He gets immediate attention. Bad attention. But it's attention nonetheless. Right? Or a common thing, the guy's kind of, somebody walks down the road, minding his own business, you know, he sees this whole big riot going on, he goes over to see what's happening, you know, and some man is beating up on his wife, you know, and all that. And then he goes over there and stops the man from beating up on the wife and that, and then the wife says, hey, mind your own business. You know? Or if he attacks the man, then the wife picks up something and hits the guy that, you know, is attacked the husband. And you're going, hey, wait a minute. You know, you're saying help, help, this, that, come help. No, it's rasa, that's all. It's relationship. Maybe bad, but it's better than nothing. Right? So that's the thing. We're getting whatever we want because that's exactly what we want. This is how we like it. This is how we like it. So, therefore, nothing's going to change by magic. It's going to change because we decide. Hearing the philosophy, association of devotees, following the process of Krishna consciousness, being purified, that we decide, I want Krishna consciousness. Right? You still have to make the choice. The heart will be purified. And that will make the choice easier by chanting, by associating, by living in the Dham, worshipping the deity, hearing the Bhagavatam. The heart is purified. And the opportunity to become attracted to those things, just the mind without any... If you like it, then it's attraction. That means you've accepted. Right? But still, you have to accept. It means we have to make our own decisions. That's the thing. Whether we become Krishna conscious or not, it's our decision. No one else's decision. Right? Others may have influence. But ultimately, we're the one that made the decision. So if we're really honest, we can't really blame someone else, right? Someone says, hey, this is great, you know, eat this, and we eat it, and it's not great. We can say, well, he told me, yeah, but you did it. So therefore, keep association of those persons who, what they will set example or tell you to do, is a direction you'd like to go. But still, the decision is ours. That's what Krishna is waiting for, right? Is the super soul, or the example of the two birds in the tree, the super soul is waiting for the soul to stop looking at the tree and to look at him. And once he does that, then they fly away. Right? They leave the body, go to the spiritual world. But if the other bird has his back to him, is eating the fruits, because the fruits can be pious or impious. Sometimes we think, if it's pious, it's good. No, it's still material. Higher grade material, but material nonetheless. Right? Gold is metal. Iron is metal. They're both metal. Gold may be of more value and the iron of less value. So same way, pious activities are still of this world. So Krishna consciousness is the thing. If it's connected to Krishna, it's good. If not connected to Krishna, it's materially nice, but as far as Krishna consciousness goes, so what? Right? Person's pious today, after a few million lifetimes, he'll be impious. And then after a few million lifetimes, he'll be pious again. Right? So the main point is that what we are now, if we want to change it, then we follow the process that's given here. Examples of the acharyas. Chanting, associating, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham. You know, engaging ourselves in Krishna service with the purpose that I want to dissolve this identity, not create it. Right? The Varnashram system is there to dissolve the material identity, not to create it. This is the problem. Right? The problem is in the material world, people just go from one to the next. Right? Just like they go from body to body, then they go from identity to identity. Okay, I'm not this, but I'm that. But we're supposed to go from I'm not this body to I'm servant of Krishna. Then, looking at our conditioned nature is like looking at furniture in our room, or pots and pans in the kitchen. Right? We use it according to its nature, right? You sit on the chair, right? You walk on the rug, right? And the rug goes on the floor, right? The fan goes on the ceiling. It's very easy to put together. Right? So in the same way, but if we're attached, we get an idea, no, I it would be really nice to have the fan on the wall, right? It would look really good. You know, you've been looking at too many Picasso paintings. So there we decide the fan will go on the wall. We may have problems, right? It's just easy. It goes on the ceiling, the rug goes on the floor. We walk through the door. So the same way is our conditioned nature. Okay, it's a Brahminical conditioned nature, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, what do we care? Whatever it is, we use it in Krishna service. Whatever is the best ashram for the mentality that's there and the particular attachments and the way it's been trained like that, then we just do that. What do we care? Shastra says this is how it works. We just do it. It's no big deal. It becomes a big deal when we identify with it. So that keeps us here. Therefore, then one goes from this body to that body to the next body. I don't know if we're keep going around in circles here. So just in, you know, summary, then the mind is the key. You catch the mind, then free yourself from the material world. The mind accepts and rejects. That means it's attached to thing or it's repulsed to other things. So right now it's attached to material energy, repulsed to our identity as servant of Krishna. We have to get it where it's repulsed to trying to enjoy the material energy and attached to serving Krishna. So the mind doesn't change. We just have to switch it. So that's the point. We're not going to be a different person in the spiritual world. We may look different, but how we're thinking now, we're going to think then. Prabhupada says, like going to sleep, and then you wake up, you're in the spiritual world. But it's not like you're going to feel any different. You understand? You're going to be the same soul. Now it's clouded through the modes of nature. When those are cleared, then it is pure. But it's the same person. This is the point. So if you bring the mind to the point where it accepts that I am servant of Krishna, whatever it thinks about is in relationship to Krishna,
Therefore, you connect yourself to, attach yourself to things that are connected to Krishna. Right? You can think about anything, but you think about those things could be engaged in Krishna's service. Attach yourself to that. Then thinking's done. Then that attachment grows and becomes feeling. Then we endeavor. And then everything's connected to Krishna. Then that person, then at the end of the body, doesn't need a material body. His material body is for moving here in this world because of the attachments here. So you have the spiritual desire, attachment, because you've connected whatever you think about, accept and reject, on that. Then your identity is servant of Krishna. Your intelligence discerns things based on what's connected to Krishna. And the mind accepts and rejects based on what's favorable to Krishna. Then you don't need to be here anymore. At the end of this body, you go back to Godhead. Does that make any sense? Some questions or comments?
In Prabhupada's purport, he writes that the mind is controlled by Krishna. So where does independence come into play?
The mind is controlled by Krishna means when you want to remember Krishna, Krishna lets you remember him. When you want to forget him, then you forget him. So the independence is what you do now. What you do at this moment, from moment to moment, that's your independence. What will happen in the future is what it depends upon what you do now. Right? In other words, there's the situations you're in, and there's what you do in those situations. Right? Understand? You have no control over the situation you're in. But what you're going to do in that situation, you have full control. So it's a combination. Some say, well, where there's destiny, and then the other party then, you know, puts up their swords and shields and clashes with them. No, it's all free will. They're both idiots, because it's both. At every moment, you are receiving your past results, which means destiny, based on your past free will. And then what you do with it today creates your destiny in the future. And you'll have the free will to do with it whatever you like then. So the present is the key. And the present is only experienced if you're in the mode of goodness. People in the mode of passion live in the future. People in the mode of ignorance live in the past. People in the spiritual world live in the present. There is no past or future. That's why their consciousness is complete. Right? Any moment that you're in the present for any particular time, that moment will stay with you. You remember that the rest of your life. Think about it. You go back in your life. It's something that brought you right now. You forgot about the past or the future. Those have tangible meaning to people. Thinking about the future or past is easy. But thinking of the past means something happened at that time, it was present. Does that make sense? So that's why there's the push, you get to the goodness, then you're in present, then you're in control of what you do. Right? Otherwise you're thinking, what I'll get in the future, so you do stuff now. But it's not necessarily based on reality, if it's mundane. Right? Or you're thinking of the past, I had like this, so therefore you'll do something now to try to get that again. But if you look at what I have now, what's the reality of it, how to connect that to Krishna, make a decision on that and act on that, then you go towards Krishna. Therefore, the lifestyle in the mode of goodness, behavior in the mode of goodness is recommended. Because passion or ignorance will take you here and there. The sages aren't stupid. You know? You know what I'm saying? The sages, it's not a big deal to... I mean, if you can make the fine cloth and embroidery and everything that they make in India... You think it's hard to make a pair of blue jeans? You know what I'm saying? So, if that was the superior cloth, they would have been wearing it. It would be baiting. Right? You know what I'm saying? If denim was the ultimate cloth, the Vedas would have already said Krishna would be wearing it. Right? Why would he be wearing a yellow silk dhoti when he could be wearing a blue denim, pair of jeans?
It works on it.
With?
With a horse on it.
With a horse on it, yeah, whatever. You know, does that make some sense? So the whole point is they've thought of these things and they've understood this is the best. From contemplation and Krishna from creating it. Therefore, the mode of goodness is what's important. Right? From there, it's very easy to get to pure goodness. Goodness itself has no importance other than helping you get to Krishna consciousness. So to overemphasize it and look at, if I situate myself in goodness, that's perfection, that's foolish also. Right? There was a philosophy like that going around some years back. No, goodness is a tool. Just like our body is a tool, the mind's a tool, the paraphernalia we have is a tool. They're all tools to help us get to Krishna consciousness. Like that. But other than their use in Krishna consciousness, for the devotee, there's no importance. Therefore, the heavenly planets and being Brahma or Indra, all these wonderful, glorious material situations have no meaning to the devotee. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'd rather be a bug in the house of a Vaishnava than a non-devotee Lord Brahma. Because at least I'll hear the holy names and, you know, there'll be transcendental activities and sound vibrations. So as a bug, I'll be benefited. Right? If one is not a devotee, then of course, then being Brahma is much better than being a bug. Right? There's more chance that maybe you'll become Krishna conscious. But as far as someone who is trying to be Krishna conscious or is Krishna conscious, then the mundane, its only importance is its usefulness as a tool. Right? So the reality is we have a certain nature and it's going to work that way. Right? The guy out in the street, you know, working the jackhammer, then he may not feel comfortable, you know, sitting down and giving, you know, being responsible for doing the Bhakti Shastri course in the, you know, MIHE. Right? Because his conditioned nature doesn't allow for it. But he can fix Krishna's road. He can fix Krishna's road, go back to Godhead, and the other person will teach Bhagavad Gita and go back to Godhead. Right? One is not superior to the other, as far as that. Right? So that's the thing. Due to false ego, a mundane identity, then we decide this is better than that for ourselves. Right? If anything is better, one's better than the other. It's because it pleases Krishna more or less. Right? Krishna says, whoever you see, whoever you meet, talk about Krishna. You can talk about Krishna there on the road also. Therefore, then the preaching is more important because it pleases Krishna. Not that the act of performing teaching activities and the act of fixing the road is any different. The difference is the one is closer to get you to Krishna consciousness. It's more easy. It would be a more probability hearing Bhagavad Gita from a proper person that you will awaken your Krishna consciousness than just working out on the road. Right? There's very little to make you remember Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But the work itself, what's the difference? One, you're pushing around earth, and the other, you're pushing around air. Right? Does that make some sense? Okay. Anything else? Okay.
Sometimes we hear like philosophies like that, if somebody chants Hare Krishna, we just chant Hare Krishna, and then doesn't matter what you do, you will get mercy, like mercy of Krishna, and then you will go back to Godhead because Krishna is like a Kripa Siddha system or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Kripa Siddha. See, the thing, the point is all these things are there. You'll have so many things that seem contradictory. Complete opposite. One is saying without the endeavor you're not going to get. The other one is saying it's not our endeavor, it's the mercy of the Lord. Right? So it looks contradictory. What's the common point between them? It's the mind. It's the sincerity. The point is if one is sincere, it's not the results that actually makes the difference. Right? It's a sincere endeavor. Right? And of course, generally if we're purified, then we get good results. or if we don't get good results, we're either being purified, or we may be purified and it's setting an example for others. Right? Like the Pandavas don't necessarily always get great results on the material platform. But it's not because of impiety. It's because they are on such a pure platform that they can set example for others who are not pure. So that the whole point is to catch the essence. So it's just because one chance, that's nice. But why are the examples given of the, you know, just one can repeat things like a parrot? Right? Of course, purification is there. But we have to understand is liberation and prema are two different things. Going back to Godhead is prema, being freed from the material world. So you chant the holy name, no consciousness, nothing. You'll be liberated. Right? Material, the holy name will take you out of the material world. That's guaranteed. That was Haridas Thakur's point. Even Nama Bas, you'll get liberation. But you want to get into the spiritual world, that is based on love. You have to want that. So this is the two things. One is getting up to the Viraja, the other is getting into the spiritual world. Because there's some space in between. Right? So that's the thing, is that the person who's saying it's only mercy is looking at it that if you're sincere and all that, then you endeavor. The other one says, no, you must endeavor, is looking at it that, you know, you must follow the process that's given by the Lord. Right? And if one is, if they go too far one way or the other way, that's the impersonalist and the sahajya. So the point's in the middle, where both meet. Right? If you have two opposing things, if you can find where they meet, and that works it out, that's where Krishna consciousness lies. Otherwise, issues have zero to do with Krishna consciousness. They're good for the bile, you know, like that, keep one, you know, fired up. You know, keeps one moving rather than lethargic. Right? If there's an issue, you generally tend to talk to people, do something. So mode of passion on the material platform is considered better than the mode of ignorance. So therefore, those who issues are very much a part of their life, you know, will naturally feel themselves superior to those people who aren't worried about it. Right? And the people who aren't worried about it because of philosophy, then they're a little weird. You got to be careful of them. You know? Because my endeavor gets my result. Because I'm in control and I'm the enjoyer. Therefore, issues are important. They're the natural thing. Your mode of goodness, you like a simple environment. Mode of ignorance, you like a dirty environment. Mode of passion, you like a very active this, that, and so many things. Everything that's reactions. You say something immediately, you know, it emotes like that. Right? But if somebody think about it this, that, then nobody likes them because, you know, they're weird. Why aren't they reacting like everybody? They must be weird. Right? They don't react to something wrong here. Yes.
Well, not a matter of change.
Huh.
A good example of somebody in the city working with that, and he goes on vacation at a place, he doesn't actually change. But it's very common to say, I just met so and so, he's really changed.
Uh-huh.
Or we may even, out of surprise, say, yeah, he hasn't changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of surprise. So some change is going on. What actually is that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that's nice. The change is there. It means I was making that point before to say that our us doesn't change. Externals will change. So, is basically what happens once there's a change means their values have changed. Because your endeavors are going to be based on that. So if by experience, by hearing the philosophy, by association, by, you know, being in a different situation that you might change how you look at it. Means the only advantage to changing a situation is that in that new situation, because the mind will be more at ease because it wants that, It wants out of this situation, wants into that situation. It may be more relaxed than it might see the forest. Well, in the situation that it's in, it only sees the trees. So just you may relax and just by accident happen to have a more, you know, a better view of it. Like that. So, but still the point is then one accepts that, and then one changes that value or decides, okay, maybe it's not like this, it's like that, or, you know, others, maybe they're right or something, or, you know, so with time, change is there. If there wasn't change, then you wouldn't have such a variety in the material world like that. So the change is there. The point, what I was making, was not that external change won't be there, is that the consciousness only means, unless you endeavor for it, it doesn't change. Means unless you decide, okay, I want to change my consciousness, and the process is by association, by sadhana, by, you know, various activities I should do or certain ones I shouldn't, that you've made that desire, that is a value. I value to be Krishna conscious, though I'm not. And that desire, that's where Krishna comes in. Krishna bridges that gap. As long as we're desiring it and, you know, maintaining that desire. Because if we maintain that desire, then we'll start to do the activities of it. Like that. And Krishna, seeing that, is pleased, so then he removes the ignorance. It's not that our activity removes the ignorance, it's Krishna removes the ignorance. So why is it that those five are so special? Because they're Krishna. Bhagavatam's Krishna, the name is Krishna, the devotees are, you know, the walking Bhagavat, the deity is Krishna, the Dham is Krishna. So therefore, then you make endeavor with them, and then it changes. But other things, you take your bath 3 times a day, and that itself is not doing. But that you've endeavored to do that because Krishna said you should do that, because it's part of the deity worship or part like this, then Krishna bridges that gap. So endeavor has to be there. And that will be based on a value. And so either it's a theoretical value, you know, but in any case it's a value. Like, prema is what I want, so that's a goal. So when you get there, then how you see things based on that prema, you're going to act according to that in prema. But at least in theory, I would like that. So I make that theoretically my goal. So then that will change your perspective on how you do things. And so the more that you're educated in it, you know, or the more you're fixed in it, then the better your result will be. So that at all times you're trying to find out what is the Krishna conscious, you know, best endeavor or engagement in any particular situation. If that endeavor is, maybe you make a mistake, it's wrong, but at least that you considered it, Krishna sees that. That you tried. You didn't know what to do because you don't have the information. That's the meaning, the Kanista. Kanista doesn't have the information. Like that. So he may make mistakes, but at least he's trying. He wants to do. He wants to actually. So he's trying to be Krishna conscious in all the situations. And if he's humble, then when he finds out it wasn't right, then he'll adjust. Oh, okay, now I know. But if he's proud, then whatever one did, even if it was wrong, one has to stand up for and say this and that and, you know, so many things and make new philosophies and all that to prove it like that. But if one's humble, then one moves on. Then one's educated. One deepens one. Then one knows, next time I'm in this situation, then I'll act like this instead of like that. But the constant factor is that trying to be Krishna conscious, trying to do the right thing, you know, that'll please Krishna. That's the actual principle. Is I'm servant of Krishna. How can I serve Krishna in this situation that would best please him? And to best of my understanding and you know, experience, I do. And if we're sincere, Krishna will teach us. He will reveal if there needs to be, it needs to be changed. Like that.
So if you take that as our spiritual identity, then all the rest of it is not us.
Yeah, all the rest of it is not us. It's the tools we're working with. You know, like you go into the workshop, you have certain tools and you can do the work with that. So therefore the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, all those are tools for us to serve Krishna. Because activity means there must be situation, there are individuals, there must be the interaction. Right? Because activity is based on a goal, a value. So in the material world, it's lust. Right? In the spiritual world, it's love. So it manifests there, that particular love manifests the particular spiritual form they have, and its particular rasa. It means you have that rasa, that's goal is rasa. And then it will manifest a particular body. Your rasa with Krishna is as a friend, then it manifests as a cowherd boy, or as a parent, then it manifests as an older man or woman, as a lover, then it manifests as a gopi, young gopi, like this. But in the material world, we don't have that. We're here because of our material consciousness. So we're in this body because of lust. Now we find out lust isn't a good goal, and identity with this body isn't our real identity, you know, and using our intelligence to help the mind find the best situation to, or best way to use the situation for our sense enjoyment based on that lust, this is all not correct. So now I change it. I change the goal. I want to develop love. My identity is servant of Krishna. Then I make my, I identify the various options that I have in the material world based on the scriptures, and I make the decisions based on all that. On the scriptures, as a servant of Krishna, to please Krishna. Then very quickly, everything will come into line. So they just become tools for us. That's why we take them seriously, because it's our tool. You can't neglect the body, otherwise then you're sick and you can't serve. So therefore, our taking care of the health of the body is only so it's healthy to do service. It's not there so that we'll, you know, look good, we'll be handsome, we'll be attractive, we'll be this, we'll be that. There's so many things. For us, it doesn't matter. For us, it's good enough to do our service. If our service requires top health, then we require to make those endeavors against top health. If for our service we need mediocre health, then that's good enough. You know, if for our service we don't need any health, great. You know, then you don't have to worry. Therefore, you see, those who are on the topmost platform, they just sit and chant. They don't worry about the health. You know, they don't worry at all. Body's there, great. Body's not there, doesn't matter. They already have a spiritual body. So their endeavor here is only for how much, so that we can get benefit. Yeah.
Those great personalities, their personality is, it's real. It's not a tool anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas for the conditioned person, their personality is not actually real. It's a tool arranged by the pure nature. So where's the overlap? Where's the point where your nature is not anymore a tool of the material world, but it is actually your spiritual identity?
Do you see
a gradation like that?
Yeah. No, it's there. It means it goes up. Means basically, when you get to the Brahma-Buddha platform and you understand your specific eternal relationship with Krishna, on the platform of bhava. When one comes to bhava, then the conditioned nature is dissolved. One may have the material body and the subtle, gross and subtle body to work through, and they have a particular nature, right? Because Krishna created them, and he created them how he liked to create them. So one will then work through those things. You know, that's the natural. If you want to work in the material world, you know, so they'll come to the Madhyam platform, they'll work through those things. Right? You know, it's like Prabhupada. Prabhupada is what? 5'2". So he did things with his body of someone 5'2" can do. You know, if there was something high in a shelf, he didn't volunteer to get it off. Right? He'd leave that to a tall person to do.
Prabhupada has a certain nature, a certain sense of humor, anger, all these kind of things. So that is separate from the material nature.
Yes.
So in the spiritual world, Prabhupada, that is Prabhupada. That is his spiritual world.
When you go there, you'll find the same personality. You won't find different.
And amongst our society, some of the senior devotees, some are intense, some are very mellow, some are very you know, more developed sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So this is also the variety of the spiritual world.
Yeah, that variety, you have to see, it's like gold covered with dirt. The gold is gold, but like covered with dirt, you may be able to appreciate or not. So what we're seeing when we say the person's changed, the person hasn't changed, the person's been purified. It means that we're dealing with devotees. Sometimes there's a thing, oh Prabhu, you got to change your nature. That's impossible. Right? That's like saying that, you know, the dog's tail should not be curled. Right? It's not possible. Fire shouldn't be hot, water shouldn't be wet. It's just the material energy, the way it is. But you can purify the nature. Right? So whatever the nature is, it has its pure and impure. Let's say someone is bold. Okay, now if it's impure, that boldness is very, you know, it intrudes on others, you know, whatever, life, their boldness. They just walk into your life with no consideration for you and just try to get done whatever they want to get done. It's considered very, you know, people will say, you got to change this. But it's not the boldness that's the problem. It's the impurity, it's the motive, ignorance or passion that's covering that boldness. Like you see a small child who we consider, let's say, innocent. We're just taking a theory, innocent. They're bold and walk up to you and ask you things, no one minds. In fact, you like it. You know, you can relate to them easier than someone who's so shy that you can't talk to them. Right? So it's not the quality. Right? Except for envy, basically. Envy, there's another one? Were you saying another quality? Bhakti-nata kuras? Oh, maybe that's Narsha. In Jivadharma, in that sense, I think two qualities, specifically envy, that you don't find in the spiritual world. It's a quality of the material world. But all the other qualities are there. But because they're pure and they're for pleasing Krishna, therefore you find, you know, some devotees are, you know, very submissive. Some, you know, they fight with Krishna. Lalita, she doesn't care, you know, like that. Say what you like, we don't want you around here. You know, what are you doing here? Don't mind, you don't have no cows to take care of or something. Like that. While then other gopis, they're just completely, if Krishna's around, they're, you know, completely, you know, just, they just melt. So it creates the flavor.
So that means that every, like anybody who's bold, and whether they're mafia, in the spiritual world, they'll be bold.
Not necessarily. That may be the quality. You have to see what's behind that boldness. Because sometimes somebody's bold because of another thing. Like you find somebody who has a very low esteem. So many times the way of correcting that is just being very bold. You know? Like the kid that's like right in your face and will say anything to anybody and doesn't care for anybody. If you get inside his head, you'll find that guy is like on the verge of collapse. You know, they have no strength on their own. So they create the strength by externally projecting it. And because everybody else reacts, it's a strength for them. But if you actually take them aside and let's get into that guy's head, that guy's, he's got problems.
So unless you start the process of purification, Kami Krishna can't actually know what
See, it's when you come to the Brahma Buddha platform where you're working within your spiritual nature, that's when you'll see the nature. Before that, in the Kanista and Madhyam stage, you won't see it purely. What you'll see is a less or more pure conditioned nature. Like that. There may be there has to be some of their spiritual nature coming through. Something has to be there because it's there, because that's what's covered. But you can't really say it's there. It's like you have the gold ring and you have the dirt on it. Well, if the dirt's red, you can't say, well, in the spiritual world they have a red nature, or this brown dirt is that, or it's black dirt. It's the shininess that's there. So when it gets thinner, then you start to see. So it's two different things, though they're overlapped. That's Krishna is so perfect, everything he does is perfect and complete. So therefore, the material world is perfect and complete in itself, the spiritual world is perfect and complete, and the process to move back and forth is perfect and complete. Therefore, it moves in such a way that one doesn't it may be imperceptible. It's not that you have to stop and completely change and then, you know. That's the thing. Bhakti, you know, the bus goes from here all the way to there. You know, if you take up karma, then the bus goes from here to the heavenly planet. It's a stop, so you got to get off there. You know, if it's to the jnanis, it goes up to the Brahman, and that's okay, everybody out into the space here. You know, like that. But the bhakti bus goes all the way. So you don't have to change bus. You don't have, it doesn't, that's what Prabhupada says. You don't have, it's not, you don't have to change anything. You just have to change the consciousness. Then everything else becomes perfectly brought into light. Because in the spiritual world, you have a mind, you have intelligence, you have body, you have senses, you have paraphernalia. There are people, there are trees, birds, fish, you know, everything's there. But your consciousness is different, therefore you're going to work with it completely different. How you're going to use it is different. And if your conscience is not right, nobody up there wants to be bothered. Right? Because who wants... It's just like, let's say you have a very intimate group, you know, family members or friends or some team that's doing something. If someone comes from outside and has a totally different attitude, gets everything wrong, tries to do everything backwards from everybody else, they can't be in that situation. They have to be removed. Like that. So that's the point. We get into a different headspace, so we decide that instead of Krishna God, I'm God. Instead of Him being the enjoyer, I'm the enjoyer. Then naturally you have to be removed from the situation, so we come here. And as soon as we correct that, then we're eligible to be there. That moment it's corrected, that it's said. Therefore is the Kripa city. It's not the sadhana, it's not the this, it's not the that. It's the endeavor. So for some people, then the natural thing is they have a conditioned nature where the strict sadhana comes very easy for them. So for them, they will probably take that as their main path. For another person, it's that surrender and prayers and these kind of things and trying to develop that side of it. So then that path will be for them, you know, or through the deity worship, Archan Siddhi, through that they'll do. Whatever way comes very natural, you know, as a grihastha, then one does that for Krishna. As a brahmachari, one does that for Krishna. So it doesn't. You just see what it is, take it and use it. But it's always best if we want to make a consistency with everybody. If it's based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then our endeavor with our tools will not conflict with somebody else's endeavors with their tools. Like that. So that's the need of training and Vaishnava etiquette and all that. That's so that your endeavor doesn't conflict with somebody else's endeavor. Like that. You know, it's just like something's lying for years, right? Nobody cares, right? Then suddenly somebody decides, I'm going to do something with this. Then for that person, that's the most important thing in the whole project. And they can't understand why everybody's not doing it. Right? Why everybody's not, you know? So that's what etiquette's for. That is because of your nature, you could understand that and you can work with it and get results. Therefore, you do that service, someone else does another service. But one service shouldn't conflict with another. And because it's material, the tools, there is a hierarchy of tools. You know, so therefore, then maybe in this situation, your tools will have to take second place to their tools. But in another situation, it may be opposite. You know, like that. Like the child, then they are in second. They are submissive to the father. And let's say the father is deathly ill, then the child he takes care. He makes the decisions. You know, so that's the etiquette: is to know how the relationships between, you know, the mind, the ego, our mind, somebody else's mind, you know, our emotions, someone else's, our intelligence, someone else's, our identity, someone else's, our body, someone else's body, our facilities and someone else's facility. What's the relationships between us and our tools and someone else's tools? And ourself and the other person who's using the tool. So when you know that, then you actually know the Vaishnava etiquette. Then you know the Vaishnava social system. Because it's based on relationship. Like that. Sometimes we think it's the opposite. Oh, the person, they're so impersonal. Prabhupada says, wrote back to that devotee, no, it's because they're persons that there's this. If it was impersonal, there'd be no problem at all. Right? You know, you take 1,000 marbles and put them all in one place, you can come back in 100 years and still it's the same. Right? Because we're persons, therefore then there's conflict. So when we understand the etiquette, how me as a person should relate to that person as a person, then it works. And if we don't know, then it's trouble. Therefore Vaishnava etiquette is given so much emphasis by Lord Chaitanya. Like that. His point is if you don't know the etiquette, you're not going back to Godhead. Because as we said before, it's the same person going back to Godhead. You don't want to behave nicely with devotees here, you're not going to want to behave nicely there. If you're self-centered here, you'll be self-centered there. So until you purify yourself to the point you value the interaction, you can deal with everything properly. Right? If you can't deal with the earth here properly, how are you going to deal with the spiritual world, the dirt in the spiritual world? You don't deal with the trees properly, you're not going to deal with those trees properly. With the cows, you're not going to deal with the cows. The birds, with the birds, you know. If here you walk by, you see a bird sitting there, and you go like this, then what are you going to do when you get to the spiritual world? Radharani's parrot sitting there, then you're going to go like this? No, yeah. So then, yeah. Yeah, because he's free from fear, yeah, he'll get it back. Oh, I've got this guy. So the whole point is you have to be able to adjust with everything. So maybe you haven't perfectly done that, but you're making that endeavor. That's what Krishna's looking for. You're trying to deal with everything properly. And the broader it is, the higher your consciousness. Like that. You're conscious of everything. All the people, all of this, all of that, so many different things. That's there. You know. So it's okay? Yeah, okay. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Jainita Gaura Premanandi.